This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
High fly ball right center field, driven deep. Jones is back, turning around. Oh, he's done it again. J.D. Martinez to one of the deepest parts of Fenway. And he is now tied for the major league lead in home runs. His second of the afternoon.
420 right center, the triangle. Look at this pitch. Center cut, lift, takeoff, 420. Easy, huh? I mean, my goodness.
So I know what you're doing. I know what you're expecting. You are expecting me to sit here and to say I was wrong. That's what you're expecting. You're driving in your car on the way home from work, and you are expecting me to say about J.D. Martinez versus Giancarlo Stanton that I was wrong, that it was a mistake. I was wrong. Giancarlo Stanton was clearly the better guy. Right now, J.D. Martinez, in 175 at-bats, is hitting .343, slugging .680, with a 1,077 OPS, tied for the Major League lead in home runs with 15, second in the American League in RBI with 41, batting .343, which puts him second in the league, tied with, again, Manny Machado. Mookie Betts leads the league in batting. And meanwhile, Giancarlo Stanton is sort of plodding along. Yeah, I say plodding. .263 with 11 home runs, and I think he's got 30-something RBI for the New York Yankees. 617-779-0985. I want to start with J.D. Martinez, because I have a simple question as it pertains to J.D. Martinez. Does this settle the whole offseason? Now, a quarter of the way through the year, does it settle the offseason? Have you already reached a point where you said, win for the Red Sox, loss for the Yankees, Martinez is better than Stanton, and that's the end of it? Because I'm not there yet. I am not there yet. Again, 617-779-0985. Yesterday on Twitter, when Martinez hit that home run, and Murray, I told you, I don't often go on email and or on Twitter, rather, and read the mentions because I know that they're vicious. So I even try to say nice things on Twitter now, and it still just gets me absolutely shredded.
Like kicking a hornet's nest.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So yesterday, I tweeted after Martinez hit that home run. This was at 2:51 p.m. yesterday. Don't see many homers like that at Fenway. That ball cleared the 420-foot sign. Not easy to do. And believe me when I tell you, if you are a baseball fan, you've seen longer homers hit at Fenway. You've seen him belted over the bullpens in right field, long over the left field wall at Fenway Park. Hell, years ago, Manny Ramirez, I think, was credited with a 502-foot home run that is noteworthy because the red seat, allegedly, is 501 feet away from Fenway from home plate at Fenway Park. So that home run, the distance of that home run made a difference. But you don't see many hit to that part of the ballpark, clear the triangle. And now that home run was only a row or two up. Not that that makes a difference, but it is an extremely difficult part of the ballpark to hit the ball out. Okay, but I you don't see many there. You might not see another one there all year. It is so rare to hit one out to that part of the ballpark, let alone as a right-handed hitter. Hell, lefties don't hit the ball out to that part of the ballpark at Fenway Park. But what did it get me on Twitter?
Oh, I'm sure people took that as a slight for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's basically stupid signing. STOOOOOOPID. Then some guy named Arthur says, a guy you thought was another Adrian Gonzalez. I had no doubt he was going to be good. Let's see, what else? Oh, some guy retweeted something I put up there back months ago. Bob Nightingale reported that back in January, that MLB's economics had made the hot stove, quote-unquote, chilled and put the freeze on elite players, and he was referring to people like J.D. Martinez. And I had the audacity to say, was J.D. Martinez really to be considered elite? Is he really that guy? Another guy says, do you still want Stanton? Another guy, sad thing is, Maz didn't want JD at all. Never mind instead of Stanton. And on and on and on it went. Blah, blah, blah. So look, here's what I'll tell you. Martinez has been awesome here in the early part of the year. Game changer. Lineup changer. Red Sox are second in the league in home runs overall. More importantly, they're number one in the league in runs scored. The impact on their offense, the whole launch angle, new philosophy at the plate, all of that has made a difference. Martinez first and foremost. I believe in the players first, the approach second. So the approach has worked for Mookie Betts, not so much for Benintendi or Bradley. At least not until recently for Benintendi. But the guy who's got power, Martinez, has changed the lineup. He was named Player of the Week today, if you care about such trivialities. And I would tell you that he deserves it. He's not the best player in baseball here in the early part of the year because that's his teammate, Mookie Betts. But Martinez, awesome. Lineup changer, game changer. But this was not a six-week thing or a seven-week thing between the Red Sox and the Yankees. Stanton is still probably going to be the better player over the longer term. Stanton is still going to be a better long-term solution for the Yankees. And so we'll see how it goes. I'm not conceding defeat on J.D. Martinez. But if you want me to tell you that in the short term, the Red Sox made a prudent business decision in the short term and are getting bang for their buck, sure. Yes, Martinez has been a huge, huge factor here in the early going. Just don't tell me that you think Stanton's a bum, and don't tell me that you think we could possibly determine which team get the better deal yet, because we can't. 617-779-0985. Steve's in Pennsylvania. Steve, go. Stevie there? Okay, he hung up. We'll move right along here and go to Ryan in Reading. Ryan, what do you got?
Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Really, I got to say, I think JD is... It's funny you say better long-term investment, because look at Stanton's contract. That could be a disaster. It's much too much. I love what JD brings to the team. He's not as sexy. He's not as, you know, awe-inspiring, I guess, as Stanton. But his track record, this guy can hit. He's a great hitter, and he's more consistent, more bang for the buck, because he makes a fraction of what Stanton got. And I don't know. I just, like you said, I love what he brings to the lineup. He's brought it all together.
Okay, so Ryan, when you say he makes a fraction of what Stanton got, in terms of average salary, you know they're only about $5 million bucks apart, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, but I even look at it and say 5 years of J.D. Martinez or 10 years of Giancarlo Stanton. So we're going to decide that after 6 weeks? And then beyond that, what if Stanton hits 40, 45 home runs a year for the Yankees for the next 6 or 7 years? What if he does that? And you get two or three out of Martinez, and then he leaves. Which would have been the better move? Because, I mean, we'll wait and see what happens over the longer term, but I don't know that the Red Sox have that kind of power in the organization. Where are they going to get it? They need some long-term answers, too, because their farm system has been stripped raw by Dave Dombrowski. So I'm just telling you, don't make the long-term determination yet.
No, nobody should, but you can understand why people are being all boo about this, because
sure,
most of us, myself included, panned the signing at the time when they really made no effort to try to trade for Giancarlo Stanton, and he got off to a slow start. So, all right, yeah, he's been on a torrid stretch here for a while. It's 15 home runs. He looks locked in, and it's looked like it's a great signing. But to make the determination now, that's just foolish.
Of course. Yeah, it's just too early, Murray. That's all. Now, I will say, one of my concerns with J.D. Martinez coming in was whether or not he'd be able to drive the ball out to right center and right field at Fenway Park like he's able to do at other ballparks. It's a different animal here for a right-handed batter than it is in other ballparks. Just, it's a brutal ballpark for a righty to drive the ball out to that part of the field. And he's been doing it. He's been doing it. So give the Red Sox credit. Absolutely. They saw a guy that had legit power. They didn't buy in any of the idea that he was purely a contract drive or that he was somehow a myth and that it was all just a... Anytime you hear of a story of a guy sort of figuring it out, you start to wonder about a lot of elements. A lot of elements. And you wonder, boy, how come it took so long for that guy to figure it out? But J.D. Martinez, a lot of people think he has been the best hitter in baseball for almost a year and a half now, starting in 2017. And we'll play some sound for you from over the weekend from one Hall of Famer who actually believes that and said it point blank. We'll do that when we come back and take your calls.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Frank, when you say that, we decided to grill you and ask you the last 2 years, who you think the top five best hitters are. So let's have a little fun.
And it's the last 2 years. It's still debatable. There's some guys on the outside looking in. I could easily, two more Musk could be in my top five. But right now, it's J.D. Martinez, one. Aaron Judge, two. Mike Trout, three. Mm. Jose Altuve, four. And Charlie Blackmon, X Factor, five.
Oh, what was your criteria here?
Just overall hitting. Average. Home runs. Runs scored. These guys are offensive powerhouses. It's an incredible time to watch hitting in baseball. But these guys on that list have done a lot of damage, and J.D. Martinez is number one, has been under the radar. So we're talking about this guy tonight. Talk about J.D. Martinez.
Agreed.
That's from Fox Sports over the weekend. Frank Thomas. And Frank Thomas, I find interesting talking about J.D. Martinez, because when you talk about skilled hitters with power, Thomas was up there. I mean, he is a huge guy, right? How big was Thomas? Like 6'5"? Something like that?
He really looked like larger than life in person.
Gigantic.
Awesome.
Right? And crouched in there. It almost looked uncomfortable, like he had to, you know, he looked like a big guy trying to sit in a small car when he get in the batter's box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know how that guy looks, like hunched up? I always thought Thomas sort of looked like that in the batter's box, Murray. That he looked uncomfortable. He was so big, like he couldn't fit in there, for crying out loud. Like he was in a phone booth.
I'll never forget. I was a kid, and I saw Frank Tanana. The ball had just left his hand, and people next to me went, oh, no, like right to Frank Thomas. The thing was hit to Lansdowne. It was awesome. He was just in his prime. He was a beast.
And he's a guy who could drive the ball out to the opposite field, right? I mean, Thomas was filthy good as a hitter, drew a ton of walks, all of that. And so you hear him say there, when he's talking about the best hitters in the game, power, average, runs scored. He mentions runs scored, which is really the old way of measuring on base. That's really what runs scored is. The more times you run, the more times you're going to score, whether you're slow or you're fast. And so Thomas was a great on-base guy and a great run scored guy. He was a crappy defensive player like J.D. Martinez. But, man, as a hitter, skilled, I don't know. I just think when a guy like Frank Thomas is calling you the best hitter in the game, well, then that, you know, that carries a little bit of weight. And so I just think J.D. Martinez deserves a lot of credit for how he's played here of late. Boy, they got, you know, that we made fun of Alex Cora early in the year. Jimmy, you remember him comparing J.D. Martinez to Manny?
He was right.
J.D.'s not that far off. I mean, again, what's he hitting? 343?
It's 120 home runs since the start of 2015. So is it, look, and you can make the noise, but are some guys just late bloomers and he's one of them? I mean, it could be that case with this guy.
Tell you what, maybe it is that, Murray.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're using the Felger throat clearing. Maybe it's, you know, training, but just don't get caught.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I don't either.
I also think it has something to do with the baseballs. I think baseball, MLB jacked the balls last year. I do. But Jimmy Stewart, you keep looking at me. Why?
He's Manny Ramirez, Tony.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going that far yet. But what he's doing here in the early part of this
right
year.
Right center field, that's Manny Ramirez territory.
This is pretty impressive. Christian's in Mansfield. Christian, what do you got?
Hey, man. I just wanted to talk.
Christian, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold because you're in a bad cell area, so don't go anywhere. Hopefully it'll clear up and I'll go back to you. Chris is in the car. Chris, what do you got?
Mav, I'm still with you on Stanton. I don't understand what people are looking at, but when you watch his cut, he's taking the ball out with his wrists. Martinez is 30. He's got a lot of weight on his body. He's not fat or something, but I just, to me, the value opportunity is still there for the Yankees. It's not there for us. We're getting lucky with this contract so far.
Okay, so Chris, look, whether it's luck or not, at the end of the day, if the deal works out and the Red Sox made a good move, they made a good move. And so I'm just telling you that I also think they have a long-term power need. When you look at their lineup from a year ago, you say, well, where's the power going to come from? Devers, maybe, although that one sort of feels less certain than it did a year ago. I'd like to see more consistency there from Devers. But then beyond that, where are you going to get it? I mean, Bogarts is not a 40-home run guy, even if he plays better. Mookie is having a fabulous year, but honestly, I don't think Mookie's a 40 home run guy. He is off to a fabulous, fabulous start. But Mookie's not the kind of raw power hitter or super skilled hitter with raw power that can drive the ball out to the opposite field. And by the way, if you think I'm a dink for pointing that out every time I talk about Mookie, Dennis Eckersley said the same thing during a game broadcast yesterday. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go back and pull it just so I have the evidence to play for you all. Yeah, Mookie doesn't hit many balls out to the opposite field, is what Eck said. And he's right. And I'm just telling you that the guy like JD changes the lineup because all of a sudden, as a pitcher, you get on the mound, you look at him and say, uh-oh, now what? You try to pitch him down and in, he can still hit it out to right center field. Or he'll completely jack it to left. Either way, no matter where you pitch him when he's hot, you are hosed. Hanley's got power. He could be a free agent by the end of the year. So Martinez is a solution. He's been great here in the early part of the year. He has. And maybe he'll stay for the whole 5 years and hit for all five. Maybe he opts out. Maybe he gets hurt because he's older. Stanton is on pace for 41 home runs. And I think Stanton still is more of a sure thing over the long term. Joe's in a car. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to tell people on J.D. Martinez, keep it in your pants. It sounds like Celtics fans talking about Terry Rozier. I looked up his numbers today, and I'm not looking at them right now, so forgive me if I'm a little off, but he had 175 at-bats with 50 strikeouts. That's about 28% of the time. Now, do I think his home run streak will keep up like it is? Definitely not, but I do think that his strikeouts will keep up, and once his home runs go down, his strikeouts might actually go up. So I think to take this first 6 weeks and think that it's a good contract is really just, it's too early, and everyone needs to keep it in their pants.
Okay, so Joe, you know how the strikeouts work, right? We make fun of Stanton for striking out, but we ignore the ones with J.D. Martinez. Of course, he hits 80 points higher, so let's not overlook that, but it has nothing to do with the strikeouts per se, because J.D. Martinez strikes out a ton too. If I'm a Yankees fan, you know what I'm really concerned about with Giancarlo Stanton? First of all, before I even get to that, let me tell you that Stanton is hitting .328 this month. Okay, so Stanton's been swinging a better bat. He had a wretched April. He hit .218. But it's .328 in the month of May, and his OPS is over 1,100. He has 6 home runs this month. He has 11 overall. If I'm a Yankees fan, what concerns me about Stanton is this. He is hitting .206 against right-handed pitching. Okay, and if you've watched some of those at-bats against righties, with that super close stance, if you throw him a slider off the plate, Stanton's whiffing on it. I mean, he's chasing and he's missing. So again, he's batting .206 against right-handed pitching. And in just 45 at-bats against lefties, he's got 7 home runs. He's batting .422, and his slugging percentage, not his OPS, his slugging percentage against lefties is 1,000. Okay? So the large majority of his power has come against pitchers that he's going to see 30% of the time. The Yankees got to get him squared away against right-handed pitching. Okay, he needs to lay off of that breaking ball away, or he's going to strike out 220 times. I mean, you know, 200 strikeouts is sort of a threshold you do not want to cross from a legacy standpoint. And I haven't done the math. I'll do it here during the break. Stanton's on pace for it, I'm sure. Christian is in Mansfield.
Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear now. Christian, go ahead.
Okay, well, I got two just quick points. I think I agree with the other caller that it's just way too early to be saying that you know, JD is the better pick here. You know, we it's a long season and it's going to take its toll. And me personally, I think it should be including the playoffs. I think both these teams are headed to the playoffs, and I think you know, how he produces. You know, we missed a bat like David Ortiz. We'll be playing the playoffs, and I think we have to take that in consideration. And then my second point also is how much enjoyable are these games since Eck is in the box?
Oh,
so
look,
much of a pleasure to listen to.
Yeah, so Christian, I like the Eck commentary too. You know, I learned a lot from listening to Remy over the years, and I think that you know, they're different. There's no two ways about it. In that, you know, Eck is Eck's got the language. Eck is more colorful, but I you know, I've known Jerry a long time too, so I still value Jerry's insight. But the you know, the Stanton Martinez debate. They're different players. J.D. Martinez is a more skilled hitter. I don't think that that's even debatable, really. When you look at it, J.D. Martinez can hit .320. At Fenway Park, he might hit .330. Mookie Betts could hit 350 playing at Fenway for all, you know, with the way he belts the ball around the ballpark. So Fenway will help the average, but even so, J.D. Martinez is a more skilled hitter than Stanton. But that doesn't mean he was a better choice in the long term. Okay, right now, absolutely. Martinez is outproducing him, and he's hitting for a better average. So there's an advantage there for the Red Sox. You want to say one over the other? Edge Red Sox. But I think this thing is a long, long way from being decided in the long term. A long way. Because Stanton's going to hit a ton of home runs here for 5, 6, 7 years in New York. And I have no idea what J.D. Martinez is going to look like then, or if he's even a member of the Red Sox after 2 or 3 seasons.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Jackie Bradley saga in center field is ongoing with the Red Sox, and I bring that up because there was an interesting item today by Alex Speer on the Boston Globe. Bradley actually had a hit yesterday. I don't know, that sounded funny. Like, he actually had a hit. There's a reason to celebrate, throw him a parade.
I saw it. It started the rally.
I wasn't trying to be sarcastic there, Jimmy. I'm telling you the truth. Like, it just sounded funny. He actually had a hit yesterday, if you can believe it.
Well, they're needles in a haystack this season.
He went 1-for-3 with a double. He pulled the ball into the right field corner. It was a fastball away, and it did. It started that rally that included the Martinez home run, and the Red Sox ended up really being the decisive rally of the game. So the Red Sox get, they end up with 5 runs. They went in a shutout. Jackie Bradley, by month this year, in March, 7 at-bats, he batted 0. In April, he had 213. And in May, 100. He's 4-for-40 with 22 strikeouts in the month of May. 4-for-40. And the reason I mention that now is because Dustin Pedroia is due to come off the disabled list soon. I mean, he's getting close. They said the end of the month. You're about a week away, maybe, from Pedroia. And so you look at it and say, well, Pedroia comes back. They got to make a move. What's the move? Maybe you go to a lesser pitcher. Maybe they trade Blake Swihart. Everyone is sort of operating under that premise that that's what the move is going to be. And Alex Speer of the Globe says, while on the surface, the most obvious logjam would appear to be with Eduardo Nunez, Brock Holt, and Blake Swihart, the Sox could go in another direction to create a roster spot for Pedroia. Could that include sending Bradley to Pawtucket, with Martinez assuming everyday outfield duties and Holt and Swihart offering bench outfield options? You hear that? Optioning Jackie Bradley to the minor leagues.
Someone listens to the Baseball Reporters.
Okay, and they could absolutely do that. The Red Sox could absolutely do that. It's not unprecedented. With a guy with, 4 years in the big leagues or something thereabouts, Bradley still has minor league options remaining. And options get confusing. And so I know fans get confused on options, and I'll spare you the whole explanation other than to tell you this. An option is short. The word option is short for optional year of service, meaning the Red Sox could send Jackie Bradley back and forth to Pawtucket this year 20 times. And it counts as one option. Okay? So an option is good for the whole year. It's not just, you send him once and he comes back and you've used it. That's not how it works. It's good for the whole season. So Bradley is a candidate to be sent out with Benintendi in center field. Martinez plays left and Blake Swihart jumps into that lineup periodically. Or Holt. My buddy Angelo's in Methuen. Go ahead, Angelo.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm going to mention about third base. Why doesn't Corbin play Brock Holt at third base? Because Devers, from what I read in the stats today, Anthony, he's got 11 errors.
Yeah, he made his 11th yesterday, Angel. The ball hit off the heel of his glove and deflected. It was another bad play.
Yeah, but why not put in Holt? He ain't going to hurt you.
Okay, so I tell you two reasons,
Holt, statistically,
Angel,
over his career with the Red Sox, is a terrible,
terrible third baseman. Atrocious. Okay, I mean, he's a terrible defender in general, but at third base, it's his worst position.
So I let Angelo go, but Jimmy's right. He's a bad third baseman to begin with.
Terrible.
And secondly, you have a kid over there that you're trying to develop. So I think you're just going to have to deal with some of this. Now, look, every once in a while, if it gets really, really bad, and right now it's bad. I mean, it's not like horrendous bad, but it's bad.
You don't think this is horrendous bad?
Let me rephrase, Murray, because I don't believe the words as they're coming out
of
my mouth.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's not the worst I've ever seen bad, but it's bad. And if it really gets to the point where he's making, you know, 2 errors a week, like, then they may have to do something. I don't think they're quite there yet.
But it's getting close.
It is. It's getting close. I'll grant you that, Murray. It is. It's getting close. Because he's a butcher over there, man. And the sad thing is he makes great plays every now and then. Like, you see him make a great play, and then the most basic, simple play, he'll do something stupid, like flip the ball down by his below his hip. And there, you just need more consistency from him over there. Ben's in Westminster. Go ahead, Ben.
Hi, Tony. I called you on your prediction show earlier this year to talk about how I thought Jackie Bradley Jr. was going to be the biggest problem for the Red Sox this year. I think he's obviously proven that through the first, you know, 2 months. Is this, you know, a bigger issue going forward with Dave Dombrowski having a chance to trade him for what appeared to be some solid offers and getting absolutely refusing to trade him, and now he looks like an absolute black hole in center field? He is terrible.
So, yeah, and Ben, when you say black hole, you mean offensively, obviously. His defense is still excellent. He's a terrific outfielder. But, look, I think Dombrowski waited too long on a couple of these guys, and this is the danger of having a young core. So, we talk about when you get young players, you have to evaluate them properly and decide which ones you're going to keep and which ones you're going to jettison. And Bradley, to me, was a guy they could have dealt. Now, look, the stock is dropping. I would tell you that another one in the system, and this is a different case, but Michael Chavis, the third baseman, he goes from having a wretched minor league career to all of a sudden exploding and hitting 30 home runs last year. What do you think's going on there? Dombrowski held on to him over the winter. And then you know what happened? Chavis got popped for PEDs. Now he's out for 80 games, and his trade value just dropped through the floor again. You had a chance. It was apparent. Let's be honest. Looking at Chavis' minor league career, go up and look at his stats. All of a sudden, in 1 year, he basically hits 300 and hits 30 bombs out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, the light went on. And then he gets popped for PEDs in spring training with the usual apology of, I don't know what happened, I didn't do it on purpose. Which is a bunch of crap. He was trying to save his career. That'd be my guess. So, Dombrowski whiffed on that one, too. And one of the dangers, now look, we'll see on Bogarts. I think he whiffed on Bogarts. But Bogarts appears to have turned a corner here this spring. He's playing differently, so maybe he made the right call there. We'll see. But sometimes you hold on to a guy too long. And in the case of Bradley, they showed too much faith in him. Some guys you have to be able to evaluate and say, well, yeah, he's playing well now, but he's really not that good. We know. And you know what? The more I watch Jackie Bradley, I hate to say this, I'm starting to feel like John Farrell was right. Like, this whole idea that, you know, Farrell couldn't get through to Bradley, maybe it's because Bradley was stubborn and Farrell recognized you're not good enough the way you are. You need to fix it. And Bradley didn't, and now here you go. He's hitting 100 in the month of May. So I want to get to the Tampa Bay Rays. I babbled a little too long, so we're going to do it in the next segment. But the Rays over the weekend started the same reliever, Sergio Romo, in consecutive games. They started him on Saturday, and they started him on Sunday, which sounds like one of the stupidest things that I've ever heard. But then when you look at it, you say, maybe there is some logic to it. I'll explain when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So I mentioned this earlier in the show. I'll do it quickly. Sergio Romo's a right-handed reliever for the Tampa Bay Rays now. He used to be with the Giants. In fact, one of those years, he was their closer. I want to say like one of the years that they won a World Series. And then he lost his job, and there was all kinds of chaos at the back end of the Giants bullpen back then. Now he's with the Rays. And Romo started on Saturday, pitched an inning. It sounds like the stupidest thing you've ever heard. Pitched an inning on Saturday, struck out three guys. On Sunday, he pitched an inning, a third, started the game again. So again, as a starter, he pitched a game on Saturday, pitched one inning, they pulled him, he struck out three. They put him in on Sunday to start, he pitched an inning and a third, and he struck out three again. I think he also walked two in that game and then came out. So you look at it and you say, well, that's just dumb. Are you so bad that you just have to pitch relievers all the time? And on Saturday, at least, that's not what happened. Okay, it's not what happened. So I'm going to go to the callers first and then try to explain this to everybody, because the tactic on Saturday actually has some logic to it. I'll explain it to it in a minute. Kevin and Beverly, go ahead.
Hey, first, great show, guys. Love it. And then second, the reason this is going to work is because we spend so much on starters and not enough on the relievers. And if you can see it, I mean, we spend $50, $60 million on starters that suck. And then if you look at the teams that spend money on relievers, that's where the money's going. You can totally see this trend going to start to happen. I mean, you're going to see people start to realize that that's where you can get the bang for the buck is with relievers.
Okay, so Kevin, look, I think teams are already doing that. Again, Andrew Miller's, you know, was a huge weapon for the Indians a couple of years ago. He basically got a closer contract when he hit the market, and he's, I don't want to say a middle reliever, he's more of a versatile reliever who can give you two, three innings in the middle of the game. He can give you the eighth inning or the ninth inning as a setup man or a closer. He can get lefties and righties out. Andrew Miller's a weapon. So there are those kinds of guys that are weapons that you can move around in different spots. But before I get to the Tampa thing, I want to bring in Mike in Rockland. Mike, go.
Hey, Tony. So I've been trying to find a reason to say that Kevin Cash is a genius, and I just can't. I hate the decision. The whole point of putting in a specialist or a setup guy late in the game is to preserve the lead. If you put in Romo, he gets his 1-2-3 in, and then you want to take him out and put in Snell or Archer or whoever, and they give up seven runs over the next two or three innings. You just wasted a specialist on a blowout. So I don't know. Maybe you can explain it to me. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, so Mike, look, it's you make a good point. You know, you could waste him in a spot there, although you could say that of any pitcher at the start of any game if the thing doesn't go your way. So this was Kevin Cash's logic. Okay, now the bottom line is he doesn't have enough good starting pitchers. Okay, that's the bottom line. But given that he doesn't have enough good starters, I want to take you back to Saturday's game. Okay? Shohei Ohtani did not hit this weekend for the Angels. The Rays were playing the Angels when Kevin Cash elected to do this. So the Angels lineup is largely right-handed. Okay, largely right-handed. His quote-unquote starter for that day would have been Ryan Yarbrough, who was left-handed. So he looks at it and says, well, Yarbrough is really like a twice-through-the-order kind of guy. I mean, if I start Yarbrough and he gives up a couple of hits and a couple of walks, I'm going to get to the fifth inning and he's going to be going through the lineup the third time. Okay, and the third time on average, the OPS against a pitcher the third time through the lineup is over 800. So a guy like Yarbrough doesn't really have a history of going any sort of innings. He's really a glorified fifth starter or a middle reliever, really. That's what he is. Okay, which means he's not that good. So you know what Cash said? Well, if their lineup is all right-handed, and Mike Trout's hitting third, and in fact, Trout's hitting second, Justin Upton hits third.
That's Cozart, Trout, Upton.
Correct. Righty, good job, Murray. You knew that. Yeah, good job.
Well, I kind of put a lot of stock into those Angels. So they're going to be better than the Red Sox this
year. Yeah, that's right. You invested. Yeah, you bought in. He bought in on the Angels. So Cash said, if I start the lefty, he's going to face Trout three times before I pull him. So you know what? I might as well start my middle reliever, and at least Romo, I know, can get righties out.
That's his opener.
Right? So, I mean, that's it. What do you mean?
It's not a close. Sergio Romo was an opener.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. He's an opener. Exactly. So he looks at it and says, if I put Romo in to start the game, I can dictate the matchups I want now out of the gate. Whereas if I leave Yarbrough in, Listen, it's a stretch, but work with me.
No, but it allows him to go deeper into the game and actually pitch more innings, believe it or not.
And if I put Yarbrough in, I may have to go to Romo in the fifth, and then all of a sudden I'm not going to get him against Trout. I'm going to get him against the lower part of the order, lesser hitters. I'd rather use him against Trout and Upton early in the game, get those guys out, and then if I have to pull Yarbrough in the middle innings against the number seven hitter, I can go to someone less, and I've just gotten an extra three outs out of it, right? And it worked. I mean, Yarbrough ended up going, as it turned out, 6 1/3. They won the game on Saturday 5-3. Now, they lost on Sunday 5-2, and he used mostly relievers on Sunday. All I'm telling you is this. You can't live that way. Okay, you can't live that way in Major League Baseball. It's just too hard. You got to get innings. You know, first of all, there's something to be said for the consistency of the schedule and the pitchers being able to operate on a routine. It's important. And then beyond that, you just can't ask your bullpen to give you 9 innings, you know, four times through the rotation all the time. You're going to run your relievers into the ground. It's not going to work.
But let me guess, because I hadn't really heard about this until you started talking about tonight. If I had to guess, the hardcore seam heads hate this and think it's some kind of heresy.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
You know who likes this idea?
Who?
Tony La Russa.
Does he? Well, there's a shock.
Because yeah. He did it. In the 80s and 90s when he had injuries on this pitching staff.
Oh, yeah. Well, La Russa reinvented the game, as we all know, Jimmy.
Agreed.
I mean, his pitcher eighth, you know, he'd intentionally walk Barry Bonds with the bases loaded. I mean, he's the smartest man who ever lived, Tony La Russa. So, but part of me thinks that I can't decide, Murray. I'd be eager to find out, though, going forward, whether the real analytics geeks think this is a good thing or a bad thing. Because I can see those clowns all lining up to say, yeah, it makes sense because the best outs of the game, the hottest outs are sometimes in the first inning. Like, I can see some of that too, but I admit, I read up on it a little bit because I thought it was different. Different, and I'm all for different. Even if it's stupid, I'm all for different. And this was different, and there was some level of logic to it. Some.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.